Medical waste is actually a huge environmental issue, and with the pandemic, personal protective equipment, or PPE waste, has skyrocketed. I'm Christy I, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be examining what happens to all of the medical waste generated every year from hospitals, clinics, and now individuals wearing their PPE. According to a recent study, the global medical waste management market is projected to reach $16 billion by 2029. Medical waste is the waste produced in any healthcare or diagnostic activity and can be hazardous or non-hazardous due to the various contaminants it has come in contact with. Hospitals, research labs, and nursing homes generate a high amount of medical waste. And depending on what type of waste it is, if it's infectious waste, pathological waste, chemical waste, sharp objects, pharmaceutical waste, or even radioactive waste, it is all treated differently. Hospitals and healthcare facilities typically generate a lot of waste, which can transmit infections, particularly HIV, Hep B and C, and tetanus, to people who handle it or come in contact with it. Key components in waste management includes collection, transportation, storage, treatment, and recycling. Waste is the first collected in various container sources, and you often see different colored or labeled bins for collecting sharp objects. Biohazard waste goes into another bin, and gowns, gloves, and masks go in another. This segregation reduces the amount of waste that needs special handling and treatment. Storage is also important for the segregated waste, as storage in hospitals is generally between 12 to 24 hours before it is transported out, and it needs to be clearly labeled to show the ward where it's kept, so if needed, the waste can be traced back to its source. Next, waste is transported for treatment, usually accompanied by and signed and dated for accountability. Special vehicles must be used as to prevent access to and direct contact with the waste by the transportation operators, scavengers, and the public. Drivers must also be trained in the procedure in case there's an accidental spillage. Finally, the waste is treated based on its category. The waste must be disposed of by incineration or plasma pyrolysis, sanitary landfill, or pit. Things like scalpels will undergo sterilization via gamma radiation or autoclave. Now, both incineration and plasma pyrolysis produce gas pollutants. And given all of this, hospitals, they're paying a lot for proper waste management. 7,000 tons of solid waste are generated in the U.S. every day at a cost of $10 billion per year. On average, it costs hospitals 2 to 6 cents per pound for solid waste disposal, 30 cents to $1.25 per pound for biohazardous and infectious waste, and between $1 to $6 per pound for hazardous waste. The global medical waste management market experienced tremendous pressure during the COVID-19 pandemic due to the high usage of PPE equipment. There's also a large amount of diagnostic test kits, disinfectants, chemicals, and vaccine needles, all of which produce waste after one-time usage. There's a large concern about the hazardous medical waste produced and the risks of contamination associated with waste management. According to the WHO, over 10,000 tons of extra medical waste has been generated in response to COVID-19. Over 9 billion doses of COVID vaccine have been administered globally, producing over 145,000 tons of additional medical waste in the form of syringe needles and safety boxes. Over 140 million diagnostic test kits generated over 2,600 tons of medical waste. And for more, let's bring in Satish Sinha, Associate Director at Toxics Link in New Delhi, India. So Sinha, thank you so much for joining us from the other part of the world. How much waste is generated from the COVID-19 pandemic globally?
It was a huge, challenge to all of us who were working on these issues. Initially, we didn't know what was happening. It was quite overwhelming to see the kind of waste which was being generated, because none of us had any knowledge of this pandemic and what is the level of infection and what is the thing. So there was a shock kind of a thing. And then first we were trying to find out what should be the protocol for this kind of a waste. That was one first. What should go where? How should we deal with it? It multiplied manifold in the initial stages. That was in 2020, March or sometime in India. We had the first case in January, and slowly and gradually started to increase. So that was the first thing. But then global data today suggests that it went up almost by about 10 times, the total waste generation. And what the, one of the biggest constituents of this waste was also plastic.
Really?
Everyone was trying to, you know, there were lockdown conditions, the people are staying at home, they want to do everything to be received in sanitized condition. And, you know, the kind of things that were reaching hospital were also to be sanitized conditions. So there was too much of plastic, which was excessive amount of plastic, which was being used in those days. So that was one first constituent that we realized during plastic. But there were other kinds of waste that has started to happen, like, you know, PPE, face mask, face shield, gloves, full PPE suit, which were of different materials at different points of time. So all that started to happen. WHO's own data, and then there were other things like, you know, testing kits, then your vaccinations, the number of syringes that the world used. So if you look at the spread or the quantum of hospital equipments and that were used during those days is phenomenally large. They say that about 8 million tons of waste were generated globally.
And is there a way to make waste management more efficient and eco-friendly? Or is waste, this kind of waste, inevitably a byproduct of the medical industry?
It's hard to say that it can be made eco-friendly, but yes, there are ways of reducing waste or treating waste and making it more, you know, you can handle it better so that it doesn't go out into the oceans or it doesn't go out anyway. But the fact remains that you will have infectious waste generation from hospitals. I think it's hard to say, at least from our experience of working on this, that by year so-and-so, you will not have any infectious waste coming out from hospital, or they'll all be treated and disposed of within the hospital settings. Perhaps that can be possible. But what experience we bring to the table in developing economies is that hospital waste can be managed. It can be reduced. And that's what I said. My opening statement was that only about 15% of the hospital waste is actually infected. And if I give you a figure, it varies from country to country also, waste generation. If you ask me about India, waste generation per bed is about 0.8 kgs or 800 grams, 7 to 800 grams on an average from primary healthcare facilities to the tertiary healthcare facility. It can vary, but I'm giving you an average data of about 7 to 800 grams. If you go to the data from United States or you go for data from Canada, it goes up to 8 kgs per bed. That's the difference. So again, a question comes up is how do you minimize waste? So if you can segregate waste at the point of generation, like we do in our country, we have a protocol of separating waste at the point of generation. So much of the plastic, much of the glass that we generate, we decontaminate it and we bring it back into the supply chain again of plastics. We shred it, we make pellets out of it, and we bring it back into plastic resins. So that is a way to deal with in an environmentally sound condition, and we decontaminate it either chemically or with thermal processes. These are all protocols which have been laid out by the WHO also, and there are other kinds of other governments also and other kind of research institutes who have given out this protocol.
And what do you think the trend is moving forward as surgical enhancements become cheaper and more readily available?
It does make me nervous, but it is also a way forward for humankind that you need cheaper medical facilities to for people, especially in countries like ours, where there are so many poor people who can't get medical treatment because they can't afford it. So imagine, you know, if all poor people get medical help, which is available to them and which is cheap and affordable, it is a big, you know, big boom for many people in countries like ours. So I look forward to cheaper medical facilities and treatment possibilities. Yes, it is going to generate some amount of waste. It will generate waste. But it is also important to understand that as we progress as societies and communities and nations, we will need to find a way to deal with waste. Waste is a big problem, not only medical waste or infectious waste, all kinds of waste is a problem. But we cannot have a situation where because medical treatment is cheaper, we will compromise on waste management, or just because the waste is going to go up, it is going to go up not in very significant way, because it will go up to some extent, but we should be able to manage it. I think we are in a stage where we have the know-how and we have the technology, and only it requires some amount of push and political aptitude to deal with this kind of waste.
And how do you think the medical industry compares with other industries in terms of waste generated?
Well, one of the primary differences that you have between all kinds of both, I would say, industrial waste, other than household waste, industrial waste and this waste, which is from the healthcare industry, both are in many ways hazardous. Many ways hazardous. I'm not saying that all waste is hazardous, but the similarity is that both are hazardous. The biggest difference is that hospital waste, a large part of it, or a small quantum, but the most dangerous part of it is infectious. It is likely to cause infection to another human being or to other living beings. Now, that's one difference that I can immediately suggest. And in the case of industrial waste, you again have a protocol or other kinds of waste to managing those waste. And so you can recover a lot of waste today because we are talking about circularity. You're talking about how to create circular economy. So a lot of waste from the industrial sector or automobile sector or automobile at the end of its life can be now brought back into different components. The hospital waste also in multiple ways can be recycled and reused, other than those which you will have to incinerate it. That is no go. You cannot do anything beyond that. So you will have to dispose it of in a manner that it does not cause any environmental harm or human health harm. So that is the big difference between both. Both are hazardous, both have a problem, both need to be managed. But a lot of waste in the industrial waste or, you know, process waste can be recovered today, and we'll have to find ways to deal with that waste. It can be brought back. That's what the whole thing about circular economy. In this case also, a lot of plastic and glass and metal can be brought back and put back into the process of supply chain and into material chain, material flows. It can be put back into that.
Thank you so much for your time, Satish, but stick around as there's more to discuss about the non-hazardous waste and its impact in the waste management market. After the break, we'll discuss how operating rooms contribute to the huge amount of medical waste and compare the amount of bio-waste generated from plastic surgery versus other surgical procedures. Don't go away.
government has been killing its own people in Donbass for 8 years. It's amazing that this is not being covered in Western media and hasn't been covered for the last 8 years.
I'm here for 5 minutes, and then I'm told the first five people they found, it was five decapitated heads.
Vale la pena correrli? E questa domanda poi fa scattare tutti gli altri meccanismi. Lo fai perché sai che bisogna farlo, che devi.
The information war. Almost all the independent journalists who pointed out that NATO and the US were directly responsible for initiating the military conflict in Ukraine are casualties of it.
As long as we want the war to continue, we will fight that war using Ukrainians as proxies, and we will fight it to the last Ukrainian death.
That's what's happened in Donbass this whole time. These aren't objects, these are people. And so that's why I do what I do. That's why I'm here.
Welcome back to The Cost of Everything. The non-hazardous waste segment is expected to account for the largest share of the global medical waste management market. The major factor contributing to this segment's large market share is the increased surgical procedures globally. Globally, 310 million major surgeries are performed each year, with 50 million in the US and 20 million in Europe. The most common surgery performed is a C-section, as they have become 500% more common over the last generation. Plastic surgery is also on the rise, increasing by 55%, with aesthetic surgery and liposuction being the most popular. Facial plastic surgery treatments is up dramatically, with an estimated 1.4 million procedures done in the past year, up 40% from the year prior. Photoshop, Instagram filters, and people spending more time on Zoom and TikTok has distorted people's view of their faces. And 79% of facial plastic surgeons identify patients seeking procedures for improved appearance on video conferencing or social media. Surgeons have cited that we've moved static image filters to a more Zoom dysmorphia being the major motivator, as it continues to impact the way we view ourselves and present to our peers. Operating rooms contribute a huge amount of medical waste. The bio waste is then transported to the waste treatment facilities and incinerated. The incineration process alone produces a huge amount of emissions. 1 kilogram of clinical waste produces roughly 3 kilograms of carbon dioxide. And a single patient hospital bed produces 0.87 pounds of waste per day. Across 100,000 hospital beds, that would be over 235,000 kilograms of CO2 produced a day. Now for more, let's bring in again Satish Sinha, Associate Director at Toxics Link in New Delhi, India. Now, Satish, how much does it cost hospitals to get rid of this bio waste, and how is it then disposed of?
In India, the biomedical waste management in a hospital is largely done on the bed strength. So each bed is a cost to the hospital as far as biomedical waste generation is concerned and its treatment and disposal is concerned. So it varies from state to state, from region to region, even in a country like India. But on an average, I could say that it's about 7 to 8 rupees per day per bed. So if you are a 100-bedded hospital, you'd be spending about 700 to 800 Indian rupees, and that comes to about just about $10 or $12, $10 to $12 per day for a 100-bedded hospital. So it goes up. If you go up to 300 or 400 or 500-bedded hospital, it keeps going up, or, you know, it could be in that region of about 7 to 10 rupees per day per bed. So it is calculated in those terms, and there are other ways of calculation, although, but roughly, I would say that this is the benchmark for calculation of waste and monetary expenditure on waste management.
So how much waste can a hospital actually recycle given the nature of bio waste and risks of contamination?
It's an infectious waste. And let me clarify here that all the waste that is generated from hospital is not infectious. It's just about 15 to 20% of the waste which is infectious. So if you can segregate your waste at the point of generation, then you reduce your quantum of infectious waste generation. So this is a point that we follow quite strictly in India about segregation of waste at the point of generation. Like when I say that non-infectious waste, like when you get a newspaper in the hospital or somebody gives you flowers or you have something else or you get some, bring some, food item or something within the hospital or you have, or somebody has a burger, it doesn't become infectious just because it is within the hospital. These are general waste. But what becomes infectious is, which is, bandages or, syringes or kind of equipments, your needle or IV tubes, IV bottles, they could become infectious. So that is a kind of waste that requires a separate kind of protocol for its management. So what is the quantum of hospital waste that can be recycled or it can be reprocessed? I think most of the plastic waste and glass waste, which is generated in the hospital, if it is decontaminated through a process, then it can be recycled. So about 30% of the waste is recyclable if you can decontaminate it and reuse it.
And are there countries that lack proper bio-waste management protocols? And what if hospitals can't afford to have those protocols and equipment in place?
So in countries like ours or in the region, the healthcare system is operating on two planes. It is both in the sector of public health and also in the private sector. Both public and private sectors operate healthcare facilities, most countries. In the public sphere, I think the money is to be put in by the government. It is public health, so money is put in by the governments for everything that includes waste management also. In the private sector, the individual hospital promoters or owners will have to take care of the waste management. So these are two separate areas from the funding comes to hospitals for waste management also. So it has to be, the cost of waste management has to be internalized in the process of treatment or the cost of treatment for what you're providing to patients, both cases. So unless you have the sufficient amount of funds allocated to these things, to waste management, it can become a challenge. And many cases when we started out initially, even in India, we had a challenge of having the funds availability for waste management, because in poorer countries or developing economies, you find that healthcare itself is a issue. It's a challenge for most governments. So adding additional kind of budgets to providing safe disposal or treatment and disposal of healthcare waste, it becomes an additional task. But now over a period of time, most countries have understood the cost of inaction can be higher than the cost of action. So they have started putting in money or funds for safe treatment and disposal of medical waste or infectious waste. So you find a lot of changes happen in the last decade and a half or more than that. Things have improved much beyond what we were about 10 to 15 years back.
And what would happen if waste were to be disposed of improperly? Are there countries that do this?
And there are many countries which are yet to develop these protocols. We are yet to develop this infrastructure. So they essentially, my own experience has it, they essentially set it out along with the normal household garbage or household waste that is being generated or commercial waste, what we call in different countries. And they try and take it to the landfill and do some segregation there and burn it, incinerate it. Now that's dangerous from many aspects because of climate change issues and infection to people who are handling this waste. So that can be very, very dangerous. So there are multiple, impacts at multiple levels to different socioeconomic kind of groups which exist in any society. People at the lower down who live around landfill areas or poorer people, most vulnerable kinds of people in the society are more impacted because of such mismanagement. So, there are impacts to healthcare workers, to healthcare providers, to doctors, to nurses, to patients themselves, because they are compromised. They are immunocompromised when they come to the hospital for seeking treatment. And when they're in bed patients, or when they're patients when they're admitted into the hospital, they are likely to catch many infections. So these are multiple kinds of impacts that you have because of improper waste management.
Thank you so much for coming on, Satish. Well, the big winner of all of this is the waste management industry, as they experience increased business and volume from the waste generated. The biggest loser of all of this is the environment. Unfortunately, even as waste is disposed of properly, whether incinerated or buried, it still contributes to pollution, as toxic fumes are generated from incineration and landfills can contaminate groundwaters. This contaminated groundwater can make their way into riverways and present a danger to aquatic wildlife and agricultural irrigation systems. Air pollutants generated by incineration sites can spread airborne particles that affect not only those diagnosed with lungs or breathing issues, but all life. And improperly disposed biomedical waste that ends up in landfills has the potential to transfer to stray rodents and birds, which can then spread parasites and infection through animal populations. Unfortunately, in low-income countries, over 90% of waste is mismanaged and is either openly dumped or burned. So while education and protocol remains an uphill battle for developing nations, we must continue to find new ways to mitigate the accumulation of biowaste. The World Health Organization and some private research companies have been working hard to find more efficient ways to recycle medical waste. Things like reformulating sterilized blue wraps for operating rooms that do not contain lead. In the past, these wraps contained lead and was thus difficult to sterilize, so the wraps were one-time use and thrown away. By removing the lead, the blue wraps could then be melted down and reused in manufacturing of soda bottles and other various plastic items. I'm Christy Ai. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you back here next time on The Cost of Everything.